And here we are on YouTube, where people can call us, and we can talk more about the things that we've talked about in the last hour or so. So make sure everybody made it over. Sometimes we don't. Okay, I press that button. Kyle, I see you're here. Voltaire, I see you.
Yes.
I see Mitch in the distance there in the same room. Why do I see Mitch?
Mitch is left.
Hey, Mitch, I just saw him. He didn't leave. He's right behind you. Well, he was. That was him walking out the door? Yeah, you're muted, Voltaire.
Mitch has to depart. He found a TV he had to turn off. It's far away.
Couldn't stick around 10 seconds to say goodbye, huh? Wow. I saw him leaving. I saw him walking out the door. Okay. Alex, you're still here. Thank you.
Yeah, temporarily, yeah.
And Liz, I believe you're still here, though we can't see you.
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, well, that's great. Greg has inconsiderately gotten onto an airplane, so I don't know if we'll be seeing him. But if he can reach us, he will do so. I know he will. Okay,
he knows the number.
Yeah, he does. He knows the number, all of them. And the number for people to call, not that we're not people, but, you know, people on the outside, if they want to speak to us about hope or about anything else that's going on, 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. And did anybody have anything they wanted to continue talking about before we were hustled off the air? Yes, Walter, go ahead.
One thing that I'd like to add is I was just talking about it's such a cool scene at night at the bar afterward. One thing I really like about Hope, especially compared to other hacker cons, is like that, especially as some, like, personally I'm not a big drinker, but Hope is like, there are people that, like, if you drink, that's cool and it's stuff for you, but there's also, even up until really late, there's always activities for people that don't drink, and it's really friendly towards that. And, like, seeing the concerts going until really late in the morning. I only saw them briefly, but it was, like, a great scene, and everybody was having a good time. I even got some people to go to rave afterward, and, like, going straight from the chiptunes thing to the rave was, it just felt really natural.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. It does. Do we have a call, Kyle?
Someone attempted to call, but it was
they
not.
They attempted to call, but they weren't.
It was not a sustained call.
Okay, you have to follow through, folks. 802-321-4225. Go ahead, Alex.
I can say where it was.
No, we don't spy on our listeners. we don't tell them we do, anyway. What's that, Alex?
I wanted to bounce off what Voltaire was saying. And, you know, I have this idea of sitting through and going through various bits of the conference, sitting in different talks, listening to people, meeting people, hanging out inside St. John's, outside St. John's, around Queens, and so on. And you almost get this impression that the conference at the start of it is this unpolished stone or this slab of stone, right? And there's so many options and activities, things that are social, cultural, technical. This allows every single attendee to really sculpt the Hope Conference into the experience that you want it to be. You know, it's a fancy way of saying that, you know, there's something there for everybody. And I have to say, just in terms of the social aspect, getting together with people from the cybersecurity industry, the hacker community, the legal community, it was really absolutely awesome. And, you know, I think that the social experience was just second to none. And one thing about Hope, which isn't necessarily the case with every other type of conference in this space in particular, is that people like being there and people are approachable. People are friendly. They want to share knowledge, which is the hacker spirit, and they're extremely generous with their time and their expertise. I mean, I had an experience with a friend of mine, and we were at the in the vendor area with Printing House Press. I was getting the name of the bookseller confused. Anyway, we were looking at one of the books over there, and this person came up and was like, "Oh, well, this book is excellent, you know, and you should get this type of volume for it. You know, and volume one has this, volume two has this." It was it was really amazing information about this volume of books that I was looking at. That
you're either talking about InStar Books or No Starch Press.
No Starch Press. That's what I was thinking of. I don't know why it was escaping my mind for the moment, but it was No Starch Press. And so when the guy was finished with what sounded to me a bit of a sales pitch, so I said to him, I said, these are great. I said, how much is the whole set? And he said to me, oh, I have no idea. I don't work here.
So, wow.
And he's like, I love these books, and they're awesome, and you should get them. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. So experiences like that, I just thought, you know, are very unique.
I believe we have a telephone call. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Tim from Connecticut.
Tim from Connecticut.
Yes, I came down, drove around the corner, and came over to the St. John's Conference, of course, and stayed in the townhouses, which was great. On campus, easy to get to, easy to get around.
We might have seen
you. Out of curiosity, I haven't heard anything yet. How did St. John's like us?
They haven't cursed us out or anything like that. They haven't said bad things, so I think they liked us. But you know,
we just
have to see. We have to see. But I hope it works out because it's a great place. It's a beautiful campus, wonderful people, all sorts of
free parking.
Free parking, and yeah, I stayed in the townhouses too, and it was. I mean, it's a dormitory. You're on campus. You can't beat the convenience. You don't have a TV set. Okay.
I love the fact that every time you went into most of the workrooms, there were plenty of outlets to recharge your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to scamper for anything except up in, 416 upstairs, the big conference room.
Yes. Yeah.
I say that the AV people that put that together,
mm-hmm.
that was just stunning.
It was.
The
incredible.
Races, the lights, the microphone, just a impressive performance quality.
Yeah, they are true artists. What they put together, they just make it work. It's theater quality.
I'll say it did take some convincing, but I think we had the confidence, we had the expertise, and we got through a lot of the technical stuff because what we're used to and what the university was used to, they're going to be different things. We're a unique event. No one like us has come across, has come to their space before.
That is true. We'd like
to have an all-night event.
I hope we weren't too traumatic because the things that we were doing, like you said, Kyle, no one has ever done before in that space. It's unique, but, we always make it work somehow. We had three venues. We had the 416 room that the caller was talking about, the main track. We had the third track in the same building, room 206, I believe. And then we had Little Theater, which you actually had to walk outside a little bit to get to. And it's a theater. It's an actual theater. And I like
that
better a lot.
If I remember correctly, somebody made mention that they had to punch a hole in a wall to get the communications gear into the little theater.
Well, we didn't do that. Somebody who worked there did something like that. I don't know exactly what they did. I don't, you know, I wasn't there when that happened, but they're improving things by adding connectivity and that kind of stuff.
It was a miracle and that a pathway was found between spaces. It just appeared by divine intervention.
Nothing was broken. Nothing was vandalized. It was really incredible to see this. The most well-behaved crowd I think we've ever had at Hope. And, you know, in the closing ceremony, as I said, I've been to a lot of Hopes. This is the best one. I mean it because this was something that was just so refreshing. We hadn't done it in 4 years. That's the longest gap between physical Hopes. You know, we had the virtual Hope in 2020, but this was a big gap, and you know, we've been through so much. We're so wounded in so many different ways, and we really needed something like this. And I just felt it from so many people that they really got something out of it. We're getting all kinds of feedback from people that really had the time of their lives and can't wait for 2024.
Yeah, we want
to. One of your Twitter followers, and I'm sorry to hear about the AC in the truck.
Yes, the AC in the truck. Just quickly.
Has that been resolved?
We're still in talks with them. Basically, we rented a truck because we have to bring a lot of things, you know, to the conference from where we set things up at the warehouse. And we wanted a lift gate. A lift gate is basically something that goes down to ground level. You put heavy things on it. It goes up to where the truck is, you know, to truck level, and then it's on the truck, and you don't have to lift it. Well, we did have to lift it because we didn't have a lift gate because for some reason the pandemic has made lift gates hard to get.
Yeah, you got
to
explain why. Like,
I don't know why.
There's a whole rush on commercial trucks. Like,
yeah, everyone wants commercial trucks.
Shipping companies, they don't want to, like...
Makes no sense.
They don't want to own them, but they rent them all up when they have, like, bursts of, sales.
You know, I sympathize, but for God's sake, sometimes other people need a lift gate. Anyway, we didn't get a lift gate.
What about the little guy?
We had to pay for a lift gate, but we didn't get a lift gate. That didn't seem fair, so there's that. But then once we drove the truck out of there and I, you know, cranked up the air conditioning because it was the hottest day of the year when we were driving into the city. And you know, I figure, okay, the truck's been parked in the sun for days probably, and maybe it just takes time for the air conditioner to, you know, realize it's an air conditioner. And so for 20 minutes, I had hot air blasting onto me, and then I realized, you know what, this isn't going to happen. I don't have air conditioning in this damn thing. And so I had to spend the entire day in a truck that had no air conditioning on the hottest day of the year, and I just couldn't put a positive spin on that. So, yeah, I tweeted. I tweeted with some anger there, and I don't regret it.
Oh, and at the conference, nobody mentioned that Saturday and Sunday there was free breakfast.
Yeah, for the people staying in the dormitories. And, you know, I didn't get up early enough, or I didn't have time, really, to go down there and take part in that. But I heard good things. And, you know, St. John's is really putting in an effort.
Just a really, really positive experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah. One thing that I know we can improve on is directing people to local places to get food. I know there was a terrific pizza place just a block away. A lot of people found that. But there was also a dumpling place or a couple of sushi places or all sorts of different cuisine in walking distance. And then if you hopped into a cab and rode 5 minutes, all kinds of other things would surface. Voltaire, do you have something?
Yeah, I defaulted on Thursday night and just simply called Domino's, went over to Gate 6 and picked up something.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Domino's. Okay, but yeah, the important thing is to get something.
Right, true.
Go ahead, Voltaire.
I was going to recommend the Filipino place like four blocks away.
I didn't know about that. Wow.
Yeah, it should be good.
Filipino place. You know, we did not have a bad meal the whole time we were there. Right, Kyle?
No, not one bad meal. The exploring, we were doing our own exploring, and a lot of it is secondhand, hearing how other people coped and what they found in their adventures between the time at the event.
Yeah. Oh, Liz, feel free to jump in any time.
I never really walked off the block.
Yeah, we can't see you, so.
I've just been quiet. Being local, I guess that's my perspective here. Again, we were talking about it a little earlier, the Flushing Business District or Little Hong Kong, I think it's also called now. It is wild how much is there. I was sending people to Nanjing Xiaolongbao, which is one of the best soup dumpling places you could go to, period.
As long as we're going to say names. Okay, yeah. Now I'll say that we, at 2 o'clock in the morning, wound up in a place called Hope to See You Again. That's literally what the place is called, and we just found it. It was open, and they had the best Szechuan I've had ever, I think. The numbing peppers that are still on the branch. I mean, that is just simply incredible. 2 in the morning, I was so happy to be in New York at that point in time. So... And the little Hong Kong that you're referring to is the biggest Chinatown in New York City now. It surpasses Manhattan.
Yep. Yeah. It's actually really funny because it's actively getting built up, but not by the Chinese, but by Koreans. So on Northern Boulevard, it's a little bit of a trek from St. John's, but if you were able to go onto Northern Boulevard, there are dozens of Korean barbecue, Korean fried chicken places. The big one I was sending people to is Maverick Chicken because they're absolutely fantastic.
Did you say Maverick Chicken?
Mad for Chicken.
Oh, as I said, because Maverick was the name of the security guy at St. John's, who is one of the most awesome people I think we've ever met, just helped us out in so many ways.
Okay.
I've never met anybody named Maverick before, so that's
yeah, cool. that's a pretty bitchin' name.
Mm-hmm.
I could say that now because we're on YouTube.
You could have said that on radio too. You just can't say the other words.
Oh, the George Carlin words.
Yeah, don't say those. In fact, those were said on that radio station, and we got in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
One of the favorite vendors that I saw there was the Tesla Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wardenclyffe.
Those guys, first of all I saw was, yeah, Wardenclyffe. I'm over here in Connecticut. I had no idea where Wardenclyffe was because nothing says Long Island. It's almost right beside the Port Jeff Ferry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's true. A lot of people out here.
Well, I know what I'll paper over there.
A lot of people out in Long Island. They don't know where it is, too. They've never heard of it before, and they're amazed.
I hadn't. I mean, you know, I've scouted around. I've been, you know, Montauk, a few other places over on the island. Used to work for a retail chain that's no longer in business. Starts with a C. So I went to a lot of their locations.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know where Wardenclyffe was.
Wow. Well, it's,
anyway,
it's an incredible place.
The airways, I'll let somebody else call in.
Thank you for your call, and thanks for coming and enjoying Hope.
Thanks for having a great conference.
Thank you. And, you know, the only reason we had a great conference is because of the attendees and the speakers and the presenters of all sorts and just the overall mood. It was simply amazing. And, you know, we may sound a little disjointed. It's because we still are. We put in so much, and it's Wednesday, and we're still trying to find our bearings, right, Kyle?
Yeah, a lot of the organizers, and we all have our different modes and different experiences at the event. It's vastly different when you're trying to help manage a lot of different things and basically be the glue that connects all these different things together and make sure things are working. You try to, like, support people, get enough of the supplies and volunteers to be available and just it's a lot. There's a lot of moving parts and especially when you're trying to kind of make it up as you go, you don't know the space as well from experience. Now I think we're gonna have a lot of lessons learned and things to apply to the future if we end up back at the university again.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex, you've been away for a little while. Welcome back.
Thank you. I hope I didn't miss anything too critical.
No, I think we finished talking about you.
Good.
Any other impressions you'd like to share about the conference while we wait for another phone call? 802-321-4225 is our phone number.
I think it's interesting that your impression of this was the best Hope Emmanuel, because I have to say, you were in the best spirits throughout the whole weekend that I've ever seen you be in at a Hope. I mean, you were relaxed. You were watching the conference itself, talking to people, going in. I mean, it was a different experience, I think, for you as well. And, you know, usually I will get, you know, several frantic phone calls or have to deal with crises with you over the weekend. And I only got one frantic phone call from you, and it wasn't really even that frantic. And it was at the outset, and it was an issue that we don't even have to address because it was a moderate issue, and you would figure it out.
I lost my phone. I lost my phone, and I realized I was talking to you on it, and it was resolved. So it's not a big deal. Not a bit. It happens to everybody.
The rest of the weekend, I was waiting for, like, you know, some major catastrophe or something crazy to happen, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept knocking on wood. So I'm curious. I'm going to throw it back to you.
Well, the reason things may have seemed calmer is because we're in a calmer environment, as opposed to the hecticness of a midtown hotel with all the traffic and just the attitude of the hotel itself. As opposed to a refined college campus where, you know, there's grass and there's trees. There are cats. Do you see all the cats on campus? Cats of St. John's.
They were so cute. I was chasing one around for like 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have their little dishes and everything because people take care of them. But they're kind of feral. But that's the kind of environment it is, where you have buildings, you have resources. So, you know, I was able to retreat into an office and make decisions and reschedule things and also watch the conference because the networking worked perfectly. And I guess, Kyle, maybe we should say something about the network itself, not just the Wi-Fi. I know you were pretty involved in that.
Oh, gosh. It was, like, totally different. All I heard from the network team was that it was much easier on them and that they were seemingly happy to have less as far as the build out and focus more on just keeping it going during the event and you know, it's pursuing some of the special projects
We didn't have to drop fiber 20 floors down a stairwell.
Nothing like that. We brought supplies just in case, and had some kind of extra supplies, but a lot of minimal cable building. Usually we'd build all these like Ethernet drops for the access points we would have to rent or install or borrow and then install as some of the spaces at the hotel just did not have the kind of coverage that could handle a lot of people. Well, schools are meant for that, so there was a lot less of that. I mean, there were a couple spaces where we may have wanted to augment and add some more.
Honestly, though, Wi-Fi wise, anywhere on campus, I was getting a really good signal. I was able to watch the conference, and I have to say, any conference I've been to, and that includes all of the CCC congresses and camps and the Dutch camps and other conferences around this country, I've never seen such good connectivity anywhere. So, not to toot our own horn, but it's mostly St. John's that made that possible, but it really was something that made a huge difference. And, Alex, I think that addresses your point as to why people were calmer, because resources were there and they were working.
A lot of the design efforts had been put in place and been things that we learned over the years. And they really listened to us. And I think that was important.
Well, it's nice that people who understand the technology listen to you, as opposed to somebody whose only job is to book rooms and, make profits and things like that. This made a huge difference. And I hope they get us. I hope they appreciate our community. I know we appreciate them. And I think this could be something really amazing. You know, if we expand, there's outdoor spaces, there's more indoor spaces. This could be an incredible tradition. Go ahead, Voltaire.
Yeah, one thing I noticed, first day, one of the security guards, and I guess all of them, I saw they look kind of awkward, like they probably weren't used to nerdy folks that dress in a black hacker outfit. And by the third day, I saw them, they all had smiles on their face, and like one of them I saw was like, was having a friendly conversation with one of our attendees and like laughing. So it's really cool to see, like, it seemed like they got us by the end of it.
Yeah, they did. In fact, they told us we're one of the best guests they've ever had, which I don't know if they just say that to everybody, but it felt good hearing that from them.
They're saying it to me too, and one of them, one of the older gentlemen, I don't remember his name, anytime he'd walk by, he's like, hey, do you need anything, are you good? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm great. Mm-hmm. Which was really appreciated, given most of the time it's just like questions. It's like,
yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? It's pretty amazing that we made it through this. That now the rest of the summer beckons, and we have a phone call. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. We have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Speak up. Go ahead. There's nobody there, Kyle. You gave me a blank caller.
Okay, I've turned it off.
All right. Try again. Get a better caller. 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. And oftentimes people call us from all over the world to share various perspectives and things like that. Yes, Alex, you've raised your hand. I know you're scratching yourself, but that counts. Go ahead.
Well, I guess. All right. So, sure, if you want to put me on the spot to talk.
I do.
I would say, I think this was also one of my favorite hopes, too, and I've been to so many of them. I was at the first one back in 1994 as a teenager, and I think you're right, too, about the setting. And maybe it's just that we're all getting older and we want a little bit more brain or something, but even things like, every single year at Hotel Pennsylvania, God rest its soul over there, it was such a pain in the ass to do something simple like get a phone line in, which then leads me to, as I was thinking about this, I realized, why were we getting a phone line in over at Hotel Pennsylvania? And that was because we needed the actual phone line installed for the social engineering panel. And we didn't have that this year.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
no, we did not this year.
Usually I'm on that, and it's so much fun, and Well, what's the thinking behind that?
I thought you were doing it.
Is that right?
But you know what? You can make up for it next time. Just, you know, make plans a little earlier, and we'll look forward to social engineering with Alex. You got to pass the baton on at some point. You know, I can't do all of it.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, in hindsight, that's a regret from this past weekend. I think we could have done a social engineering panel, and I think we should promise the attendees that at the next one, we will have that. This is such a popular panel.
You can promise.
All right, I promise.
All I'm going to promise is that we're going to do the best we can to do this again and make it even better. We have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Cuff Overtime.
Check two?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Kirby calling from Etobicoke.
Kirby, it was such a pleasure to meet you.
Hey, guys.
Kirby was at Hope. And
hi.
You ran a poetry slam. You ran a hacker poetry slam.
I did. It wasn't a slam, because technically a slam is a poetry competition.
Oh.
It was more of an open mic.
See, I learned something. Okay. How did it go?
It went great. It was, you know, you gotta get started somewhere, and part of the reason I did the event was because over the course of the pandemic, it kind of, like many people, you know, I kind of was dealing with a little bit of depression and a little bit of social anxiety more than normal and so on and so on. So it was a bit of a challenge to go out and do something.
Well, to come all the way from Ontario and, you know, and take part in this, that in itself is quite an accomplishment.
Well, the cool thing was that we had a reader that just was another attendee, and he read this poem that was just like, it blew me away.
Uh-huh.
It was all about somebody who flies drones for a living for military purposes. And it's just like, out of the blue, the one reader who came up as well and read a poem really shocked me to the core.
Wow. That's
really
pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And you know, all the different performers that were on late at night doing hacker karaoke, which I know Greg was involved in, and all the musicians, it really was something. Just the creativity in this community never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, we really wanted to honor the amount of music and creative arts that exists within the community and just have it presented throughout at different points so that it was just really this space where a hub of activity around every corner. You really didn't know what might be next. And providing the space for impromptu tracks and stuff just adds to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, it's, again, a new space, but we really enjoyed everybody who had the guts to get up there and perform in front of all kinds of people like that.
Yeah, yeah. And we had performances in the coffee house as well as some talks.
And Hackers Got Talent.
Hackers Got Talent. I forgot about Jason Scott and Hackers Got Talent. How could I forget that? Wow. I didn't get to see it, but I know I will at some point. But
there was a laptop destroyed. Sure. This is actually my second time judging Hackers Got Talent. Actually, I think the first time I had to judge it, Rob Keith Firefly came up to me and said, Emmanuel can't do it. So thanks for that. But no, it's lovely. It was so much fun. We had a couple of singers. We had someone with a hat that had a Raspberry Pi attached to it, and it would do something with the tweet. I can't remember now. But it was funny because everyone had some sort of problem with their laptop, and their laptops just weren't working. So one person just like, here, use my laptop, because it kept working. And Johannes actually turns to the guy with his one working laptop and buys it off him. And while Jason, Greg, and I are discussing the different acts, Johannes just starts destroying the laptop on stage. There was glass flying. I was just like, what is going on here? Every honestly, it's one of my favorite, I guess, panels to do, because every time something else happens, it just makes it a little bit crazier.
Uh-huh.
But that was a lot of fun. Actually, I think we also had to meet the shoot for a copyright thing, related thing too.
Well, that was actually running around the same time that in the other track, Google was going nuts, shutting us down. So we had to be extra careful with Hackers Got Talent. And if anybody was whistling a tune that Google didn't like, we had to cut the feed. But on that, I believe we have the whole thing recorded, so that will become available to the public. Yes, Voltaire, go ahead.
To tie this into another talk, in fact, Google is lobbying the European Union as we speak to create mandates so that any website that hosts video or audio has to have filters like that, which will be like left or false positives and censorship like we have here, and B, will be prohibitively expensive unless you're like a super big company like Google, so it will be reinforcing their monopoly, which ties us into another great talk, Cory Doctorow's keynote, which, about anti-monopoly legislation and things to do to combat that. So I definitely recommend listening to and watching that once it's posted, as well as if you're in the EU and want to combat that, get involved with organizations like EDRI, E-D-R-I, and EFF here.
Yes, absolutely. That is so important. And it just seems like Google is becoming more and more evil with every passing year, or maybe even every passing day. Cory did give a more than two-hour talk at the end of the conference, which was really awesome. It was remote because he couldn't make it this particular year. And we found that the transition between remote talks and physical talks was not as awkward as we thought it would be. Sometimes we had a physical talk scheduled, and then the person caught COVID. They weren't able to come, but they still wanted to give their talk, so they were able to do that. It was a fairly seamless transition where we could have people who were there, supposed to be there physically, whether they were speakers or attendees, take part in the conference virtually. And I heard nothing but good things from the virtual attendees as well as the virtual speakers. So there's that. You know, I prefer physical conferences as well where people are there. But if this gets more people involved, then it's also a good thing.
Yeah, and that talk was spectacular. Just talking about the switching costs and reducing switching costs.
Cory's talk?
Yeah. Just summing it up, kind of bringing people up to speed and running them through things. You know, a lot of people haven't heard that stuff, haven't gotten into some of the critiques and seen it in a way that's as comprehensive that you can kind of understand some of the things that are at play and some of the and why there are some of these organizations that are working really, really hard to head off some of this monopolistic and really predatory activity as far as, you know, how tech companies are treating people and their information.
It's just terrible what we're seeing. We're seeing things become normal that are not normal, where you can't even play a snippet because it's part of your talk or because it's part of a point you're trying to prove because Google's algorithms decree that you're up to something. They said that we were engaged in scams and spam and things like that. That was the actual. If you look at the tweet that 2600 sent out earlier today, there's a screen grab of what Google was accusing us of, and it wasn't at least in the title. It didn't say that we were using someone's audio. It said it was part of a scam or we were sending spam or some kind of unauthorized thing. This made it sound really sleazy. Nobody could possibly defend that. And I just, you know, if anything is sleazy, it's that kind of behavior.
No wonder they had no video or evidence to show.
Well, that just infuriated me. At first I thought, you know, okay, what they're doing is they're forcing me to use Chrome because I was using Firefox. So, okay, I logged in on Chrome where, you know, I can't block any ads or anything like that. I have to subject myself to all of it. And it still didn't work. So, you know, I don't know what they're trying to pull. They say, look at your content, see what's wrong with it. And then they say, oh, you looked at it, and what do you want to do now, when they never even showed it to you? So, this is, I don't know why we used YouTube. I think it was just out of convenience, but this is a good reason.
Well, we used YouTube.
We're on YouTube right now talking about how evil they are.
We're using YouTube right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Using it.
Emmanuel, may I?
Whoa, I forgot you were still there. I'm so sorry.
Where is this voice coming from?
I totally forgot you were there. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I just wanted to comment that that directly impacted the Hacks Poetic event because I had all kinds of selections of readings that I thought relate to hacking and hackers, and that if people didn't have something of their own or they just wanted to, you know, try to speak in front of a crowd or whatever, that they could choose one of the pre-selected type things. And that all had to get cut at the last minute because of that. We didn't want to risk it.
You mean spoken word? You were worried about spoken word?
Well, reading out something from a book or from a poet, like something, yeah.
Can they do that now? If, like, if you read a book, they can flag you for in your own voice for reading a book. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised if that is possible, but my God.
Well, say a script for the sake of argument, or in this case, like one of the readings I had was the first paragraph and the last paragraph of 1984.
Wow. I feel like I should be able to give you permission for that, but damn.
Well, in Canada, somebody told me that it's it's not licensed anymore. What's the word? Sorry, I just...
Copyrighted.
It's not copyrighted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, do you want to read it now over YouTube? Because you can do it if you want.
No, not right now.
All right.
I don't want to... I'm telling you, I've been through this kind of thing before with various people involving, registrars, GoDaddy, and whenever somebody challenges you to test if you can break the system, it's usually like, unless you're really willing to accept their responsibility.
Well, we are. If that guy come after you, at least I don't think they're that easy.
No. But I've seen accounts locked up with no explanation for ages just because of some video clip that people don't even understand how it violates a copyright. Some sound or song or, like you say, whistling or...
Yeah, I feel like going out and finding my copy of 1984 right now and reading as much of it as I damn well feel like.
Okay, hold on. Let me find my... let me get a glass of water.
Yeah, Google, you see what you're doing? You're turning us into revolutionaries. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I wanted to say, and hopefully Kirby's still listening, that I got his note, and I want to thank him for... coming to my panel on Friday. I'm sorry I didn't make it over to the Hacks Poetic panel, and that was in large part due to you, Emmanuel, and your excellent dinner recommendations that kept me gallivanting around Queens for far too long. But to go back to the substantive point that Kirby had made, functionally, in terms of copyright, you know, all of this should be considered fair use. The problem is that the algorithms don't seem to be able to make that nuanced distinction between somebody infringing on copyright and somebody using a snippet of a piece of copyrighted material for legitimate purposes like, you know, criticism, critique, comedy, reviews, things like that. And so, you know, that's just a problem where algorithms, I think, fall short. But functionally, what would be the difference between a spoken word snippet of a copyrighted work and a snippet of a song?
Well, because you're reading it in your own damn voice, as opposed to playing, you know, the Beatles or something like that.
Yeah, it's performing. Yeah,
there's no, like, content ID, from what I understand, for books, like, or not necessarily. Songs, I mean, you just mess with the pitch a little bit. It shouldn't get picked up by the copy, by a copy ID, but it's hard to say. Flat out video, probably a little depends on the holder. You should be able to do 15 seconds. I think it's between 10 and 15 seconds, and as long as it's part of a greater work, you should be able to fight it, or fight that it's fair use. So the fact that was...
Can you imagine... I'm just thinking all my nightmare scenarios now, but can you imagine a parent reading a story to a child, and Alexa turns him in for reading a story without permission that he didn't pay for the rights to. That's the world we're heading towards.
Yeah.
It really seems like it.
Well, can you imagine that I couldn't read 1984 on YouTube feed because, you know, there was a risk that a potential violation could screw up the entire conference feed for the entire world?
Well, that was the fear we were living in. We were living under fear from Saturday night all through Sunday that somebody would do something involving copyright, and for some reason we were using YouTube as our exclusive distributor of the video, which I think probably was a big mistake on our part. One mistake and the whole feed would have been gone. One mistake. No, you know what? I don't regret doing it. It was a mistake, but we're learning so much about this as a result of that mistake. So, you know, take your mistakes and learn from them and spread the knowledge. Now, Kirby, do you have some stuff that will get us into big trouble, I hope?
Yes. Before I engage in this revolutionary act, I just want to say that, no, I just had a couple of quick notes. The T-shirts were very cool. Liz and Liz, is that your name?
Yes. Or Kutsunagi. I use both.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure to meet you, and you're such a great source of information, and everybody knew what was going on, and there was no panic in the main lobby, that's for sure.
That's true.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And what else? The security was good. Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's all. I just want to say thanks.
And, you know, everyone was wearing their masks without any issues. You know, I was thinking there might be some pushback on that, but people got it. It was no big deal. All the things we were worried about that people might not take kindly to, we get it. We all get it. We know we're trying to work together and make something happen, and it really did as a result of that. So thank you to all the attendees who really made this happen.
Okay. 1984. George Orwell.
Here we go.
Read by Kirby Stevens.
Now, you're not going to read the whole book, right? Just basically the first page and the last page or something like that?
It's the first paragraph and the last paragraph.
Okay. And spoiler alert, people.
That was the idea.
The spoiler alert, it's not necessarily a storybook ending. So just be prepared for that. All right.
It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. Winston Smith, his chin nuzzled into his breast in an effort to escape the vile wind, slipped quickly through the glass doors of Victory Mansion. Though not quickly enough to prevent a swirl of gritty dust from entering along with him. The hallway smelt of boiled cabbage and old rag mats. At one end of it, a colored poster, too large for indoor display, had been tacked to the wall. It depicted an enormous face, more than a meter wide, the face of a man of about 45, with heavy black mustache and ruggedly handsome features. Winston made it for the stairs. It was no use trying the lift. Even at the best of time, it was seldom working. And at present, the electric current was cut off during daylight hours. It was part of the economy drive in preparation for Hate Week. The flat was 7 flights up, and Winston, who was 39 and had a varicose ulcer about his right ankle, went slowly, resting several times on the way. On each landing, opposite the lift shaft, the poster with the enormous face gazed from the wall. It was one of those pictures which were so contrived that the eyes followed you about when you moved. Big Brother is watching you, the caption beneath it ran. He gazed up at the enormous face. 40 years it had taken him to learn what kind of smile was hidden beneath the dark mustache. Oh, cruel, needless misunderstanding. Oh, stubborn, self-willed exile from the loving breast. 2 gin-scented tears trickled down the side of his nose. But it was all right. Everything was all right. The struggle was finished. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother. The end.
That was, you know, that was a seamless transition. I couldn't tell where the ending began and the beginning ended. Kirby, I got to say, you have a really good reading voice. You could read this to kids and scare the crap out of them.
Well, thank you very much. It was actually really nice to get the ball rolling at the conference, and I think we're going to keep it going and got some events. I'm going to try to come to the Tesla Museum for the birthday party.
Oh, yeah, that's happening on Long Island, I think, in September. It was supposed to happen in July, but somebody was driving a giant Tesla coil through the desert, and their car broke down, and they weren't able to be. It sounds like something that would happen to us, and basically the whole thing had to be postponed until September as a result. But, yeah, maybe that'll make it even better.
Yeah, and just, I just think that it's it's just a name. Like, I'm already working on an application for my Mycroft digital assistant that we could put haikus on, and people can submit them, and all you have to do is ask the digital assistant, and it'll fire one out for you for fun and inspiration, you know, that kind of stuff. Because it's really interesting the way that it makes you look at everything differently than the way that we normally communicate.
So Alex,
I hope more people get into it.
Alex, as we prepare for YouTube to come knocking, is there any kind of comfort that you can give us, having just done this very risky thing over the internet?
Not really. No, I think that's we're just going to have to deal with it. I don't think that they will come and knock and because of the the reading of the beginning and ending paragraph in 1984. I think it's just a matter of algorithmic convenience that they pick up on music as opposed to the spoken word, because it's very difficult to match spoken word with the entire, Library of Congress or something, right? But but algorithms can pick up, these musical melodies much more easily. But I do also want to, underscore what you said, Kirby. That was really awesome, and it was such a strange exercise to see, the seamless transition from the beginning and the end. And once you reminded me of those two gin-soaked tears running down his face, I realized that you had transitioned to that ending paragraph, but didn't realize it before. It was a pretty powerful reading.
It was. It definitely was.
Well, thank you, and I hope that I can continue to kind of develop this into something that's a lot of fun. And at the next hope, it's 2 years, every 2 years, is that right?
That's the idea. That's the idea. But sometimes pandemics get in the way, and you never know what's going to happen.
And that's good enough time to really get my act together by then, and
mm-hmm.
kind of develop some people involved and community and stuff. And there was a really good reception, and a lot of people spoke to a lot of people, and they liked the idea, and they hadn't really thought of it before, for many of them.
Well, that's what it's all about. Alex, you had something else.
Yeah, Kirby, I don't think I ever mentioned this, but when I was a student in England as an undergraduate, this was in the days of answering machines, right? We had one phone for the whole floor, if you can imagine that, right? So there's an answering machine, and we had changed the answering machine's outgoing message to note at the end of the outgoing message that all messages that were not left in haiku form would be completely disregarded. And we had kept true to that. We made a pact with everybody on the floor that if somebody left a message that wasn't in the form of five syllables, seven syllables, and then five syllables, it would be disregarded. And then people started leaving haikus. I wish we still had this on tape.
Did you expect people to make up a haiku hearing that message on the spot, or did you expect them to call back after having prepared one?
Well, it just depends on how quick you are on your feet.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Probably. Prep a short tutorial, a 10-second review. I did some haikus on during the performance, and what I did was I like using them as stanzas in a poem, so to speak, so that way you can piece together a bunch of small ideas and they kind of make a more sense, because otherwise haikus are just, someone listens to it and kind of looks at you and looks away.
That does happen, yes. Well, Kirby, great hearing from you. We look forward to our next adventure, and of course, we'll hear you on the radio down the road.
All right, take care. Thanks, right. Everybody.
And we're going to try and take one more phone call. Go ahead, Voltaire. Let's have the phone number first: 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. Talking about the conference, A New Hope. Did we say the title of the conference yet? A New Hope, that was our name. It took place this past weekend, and we're still recovering from it. And, that's what we're doing. Go ahead, Voltaire. Sure. What, you changed your mind after all that? You got to say something.
I was waving goodbye to the caller, and then I forgot that they can't see us.
Waving goodbye to the caller. Wow, okay. That's something.
See, that's why I had my camera off, because I would totally be doing things like that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And you don't need cameras to have a phone conversation. It's radio, right? So
you
don't really need that. All right, well, we'll give people a couple of minutes to be the last call, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. And I'll also give everybody here the chance to have some final thoughts on Hope. Liz or Alex or Voltaire or Kyle, Or me.
Or you. I guess I could start off. Something I've already started seeing a lot of feedback about was about the food options. It was a little hot to be walking around, some people were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I had thought up of Friday night, oh, you know what would have been? Food trucks. And the feedback channel on Matrix is full of people saying, hey, we should bring in food trucks next time. And, you know, I'm very down with this idea because we could – there's, like, so many good places, well, by me in particular, that do have trucks that could be, you know, parked over there and hang out.
The issue might be coming onto campus. I'm not sure about this. But if the food trucks were just off campus, you know, do you think that might work?
I think so. Because we have open access to Gate 6, right? And if, assuming that this goes forward this way in the future, we could have people park on that side street,
mm-hmm.
right there, right by Gate 6. Or if they go, when you're coming out of the parking structure, that little, I think that's Gate 5? That would be a great spot, too. And they're on, they're right on Union, too. So it's pretty much all, like, right there.
Union Turnpike, yeah. Well, Union Turnpike has a lot of good places, too, that you can walk to. But if you don't want to walk there, I understand having a truck nearby would really be good. I love how we're basically just mapping it all out now because, like the hotel, we're beginning to learn where everything is. And we'll know the place better than they do. I do think that's a great idea, though, and something that I think the university will be open to. So we can certainly suggest that. And any other suggestions people have, please write to us, feedback@hope.net. Anything else, Liz?
I don't know. Of course, everyone I would ask is in the other room right now. So, that was really the big one was the food trucks. There were some issues I did see with the dorms, unfortunately, mostly toward our non-binary and gender non-conforming friends.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's something that we could definitely work through with the university.
Certainly, yes. Definitely.
And I guess for me personally, I'm starting to ramp up ideas for a talk or a workshop or both. And hopefully, you know, getting a little bit more involved in helping making the conference happen. So
cool. And help us think of a new name.
I'm totally great.
We can't use Hope again.
Yeah. Well, can't use Next Hope.
No, can't use that one.
Mm.
Well, we'll think of something. We have 2 years. Voltaire, go ahead. Then Alex.
Hope 2K22.
Really?
Oh, no, 2-4.
you see the problem right there. You just demonstrated it. But we'll think of something. Yeah. Alex?
Maybe something like the Eternal Hope.
That's a lot of commitment there. But
Infinite Hope.
Any final thoughts? Voltaire, do you have something else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think the name A New Hope, I think... As far as that, it would be a bit presumptuous. Like, I know that the peer committee, we were a little bit scared that initially we were not getting any submissions that everyone got. I was kind of worried that we wouldn't get as many people showing up because, like, just everything after COVID has been so slow to pick up. New York, the city that never sleeps, tons of restaurants are closing super early even now.
Yeah.
And I was worried that would happen. And this really did feel like a rebirth. And seeing such a new start for a new location and a new post-COVID world where everybody's taking masking super seriously is great.
And it was less. It definitely was less. But that was something we wanted because we needed the space. We wanted to see the space work. And now that we know the space can work, as things get better in society, I'm hoping more people will be a part of this and will help it grow and improve. Because, yeah, there's certainly room for things to go better, and I look forward to that. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to thank you and everybody for everything that you put into this, and I'm proud to have played a minor part on an important committee, and also I wanted to thank you for reintroducing me to Queens. It's been a really long time since I've been there, and I always kind of ridiculed that borough.
We know.
Yeah.
It's the best borough. It's the best.
It is, like, the best borough.
I don't care about
not just the best borough in New York, the best borough in the damn country.
Hey, look, yeah. I'm happy to eat my words, so to speak.
Oh, you will. You will eat your words. And they'll be spicy, too, by the time we finish.
They'll be served, that's right.
Absolutely.
Chinese restaurant in Flushing. But the, you know, I'm really looking forward to going back and, you know, and taking my kids and things there. It really is a different cultural experience. It feels in so many ways to me like a different city. And it's just, it was really easy to get to from Manhattan. I mean, hopping on the Long Island Railroad and then getting off.
And you had a trick. Some people were saying it took them an hour to get there, but you had a trick that got you there in almost lightning speed. What did you do?
It was really fast. I mean, I don't live that far from Penn Station. So, you know, I'm just, you know, hop on the subway, Penn Station, Long Island Railroad to Jamaica. Almost every single train will go to Jamaica, except the trains, I think, going to Port Washington. I think they all stop at Jamaica.
Yeah, don't get on that.
And so, you know, there's a train leaving, like, every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is I was able to use the same ticket that I bought over and over again because the trip is so short that the conductor doesn't even come by to check your ticket.
Okay, that's not supposed to happen. Don't promote that because that's... You'll bankrupt the entire system then.
Yes. So that was convenient.
And then what happened when you got to Jamaica? What did you do?
I would just go right down to Fifth Avenue, and, you know, literally there's lines of cabs right there. And I hopped in a cab, and, you know, I was there in less than 10 minutes.
Awesome. Wow.
So it was fast, you know?
Hey, one other thing I just wanted to talk about before we leave for the night, and that's logistics. And this is where Kyle really was shining all weekend. Basically, you know, the phone booth. We had a 1950s phone booth. We had to get that thing in and out of the 2600 van, which you might have also seen. If you've ever directed a bunch of hackers to move something heavy and not kill themselves doing it, it's a sight to behold. And Kyle just did an amazing job with that. So that's something I think needs to be recognized.
Thanks.
Yeah. I was watching that entire thing. It was wild. I was like, oh, like my hands hurt watching that.
I was scared. But, you know, mm-hmm. when you know what you're doing, when you have the right equipment, it'll work. But you have to convince people of that sometimes.
Yeah, you have to say this is the way.
What is this, some kind of Star Wars quote?
It's a new hope, okay?
Yeah, you know, and this is the first Star Wars reference that I've heard in the whole weekend is now. So I guess I should be grateful.
The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's true. That's what it's called.
Yeah, but you're spot on. There was like a symphony of activity and people training other people, people reminding other people to be safe and not rush too much. I kept realizing, what would this have been like in Manhattan? You know, we'd be dealing with traffic or getting mm-hmm. tickets or mm-hmm. or rain. I mean, at least when there was some weather, I got a little bit of sun, but when there was like some thunder and stuff, we had mostly sorted out all of our activity that required us to be outside, so we were not in the elements and exposed as much, and that felt really, really good. It increased, I think, my confidence, and I think people getting together and working together again, it's a great way to familiarize yourself, or re-familiarize yourself and re-socialize a little bit.
Absolutely.
And having different tasks that are around this big sort of idea that is hope, it's a challenge, and everybody has a different idea of what it is. And, of course, with hackers, everybody's smart, you know, there's a lot of really smart people, but when you have a lot of really smart people all trying to have the answer.
Yes, that can be a disaster.
It can get a little bit contentious, but I don't know. No one was injured in the process of issuing some stern reminders to just stop and listen. Do
yes.
more listening to one another than just everybody barking their ideas and their concept of the right way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right way. Like I think about this all the time when we're creating the magazine and publishing realms and this thing of writing about hacking. Like, there's no right way to describe hacking. Like, we're not seeking perfect answers for what hacking is. We're just seeking different answers and the amalgamation of them, we think, creates a bigger and better picture of it all. And I think that is kind of the analogy for logistics, that, you know, I don't know, especially in the new place, how exactly to do it, because I have nothing to reference to other than what we learned over the years. So directing it, I was open, and I think a lot of people were just open to direction, listening, and also sharing what they might know to help look out for other people. And that's all I really asked, is just, like, have a lot of fun and look out for one another. You know, make sure we can come back in one piece.
Yeah, well, it's that quiet confidence, I think, that really helps it succeed. And it's inspiring to people, too, so thanks for that. And just thanks to everybody out there who made this event so special, so amazing. And just a real shot in the arm for the entire community. And let's hope we can do it again in the future and keep building on that. And let's hope that in the time between now and then, we have a lot of fun. We build a lot of other things. We share a lot of experiences, and I sure look forward to them. Write to us either at oth@2600.com for the radio show, or if you have feedback for the conference, feedback@hope.net. We will be back next week, I believe, for another edition of Off the Hook at 7 o'clock on WBAI and Off the Hook Overtime at 8 on YouTube channel 2600, if it has not been blacklisted for doing something against the rules. All right, folks. Again, it was a pleasure. It was fun. Liz, I can't see you, but thank you for being there and for all you've done. And,
oh, no problem.
And Voltaire, good seeing you again. Alex. And, of course, Kyle. And Greg is in the air somewhere on his way back to UConn. And Mitch is outside. We don't know where or what he's doing. All right.
How do you get TV to turn off?
He's turning off TV. He's all over New
York City.
Probably. All right. That's all I need to know. All right,
he's
guys.
Gone to Times Square.
Is he going to Times Square? Yeah, turn off
the big TVs.
That's what you got to do. All right. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night. Happy hacking.